There's a formula to it. A very simple formula.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Fuck the prime time, bitch!
Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Hey guys, welcome to the Horror Thoughts podcast. This is Sean. I took over hosting for this episode. This episode, we actually have a couple of special guests. We have Gabby and Carly from Quoth on Instagram and YouTube, and this will also be a video on their YouTube channel. The topic today is on the final girl trope of horror and slasher films. We'll talk a little generally about it and then also count down our top five favorite final girls. To give a brief bit of history, the final girl term was coined by Carol J. Clover in her 1992 book, Men, Women, and Chainsaws, Gender in the Modern Horror Film. She defined the trope very loosely as a sole surviving female protagonist that had or has a final confrontation with the killer. While there are pretty early characters that fit the description, the one that really set the template was Laurie Strode, as most of the slasher films were, especially in the early 80s, shamelessly ripping Halloween off, especially Jamie Lee Curtis's iconic character. So just to start out with a pretty general question of what is your opinion on the trope, positive or negative, and just kind of your general feelings about it. And we'll start with Gabby.
Okay, so I understand why the final girl trope exists, obviously from a historical standpoint, but in my opinion, I can't really say that I love it or hate it. Yes, I love it because it really empowered females, especially during the slasher genre, because having a strong female lead lets the viewer, from female viewers, have somebody to believe in, somebody to root for, but also the stereotypical final girl, she was very much geared towards the male audience, right, for the male gaze. She had a specific wardrobe style, hairstyle. She was looked at as a damsel in distress, or, for example, Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street, she was more of the conservative-looking final girl, and she was very headstrong. So it really depends on the type of final girl you're looking at, on depending on the era and who the final girl is, for me to either love the way that the final girl character is in the film or for me to have a bit of a problem with it.
I definitely agree, especially when you talk about the era, because when you look at final girls today, especially in like modern times, like not really in the 80s and the 90s, they are more portrayed with like more of a badass terms of personality. They talk about the trauma that they went to. They're not really in terms like portrayed in terms of like whether they're a virgin, whether they're smart, whether they dress conservatively. That's not really the main focus. That's been more of the focus in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But when you look at today, especially in the recent Halloween 2018, it talks about Laurie Strode's trauma, and it's very socially relevant. There is a social narrative behind the Halloween 2018 film. So that's definitely like a main thing that you notice in modern final girls and like older final girls and like older horror films. So. Mm-hmm.
So do you prefer a more like modern take?
Yes, honestly, I do.
Yes, because you get to, as an audience, any audience member can see that these final girls in modern horror movies, they are tenacious, they're headstrong, they're very, very capable emotionally, physically. But then when you look at the slashers, it's all about, are you a virgin? Are you not a virgin? Are you dressed conservatively? Are you dressed provocatively? So on and so forth, because that builds the female character and how she handles the situation in the slasher films. So like, I guess a good example, Erin from Your Next versus Laurie Strode in Halloween, right?
Or even a better example would be Sydney Prescott from Scream, I feel like, in 1996. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at her and her best friend, what's her name?
Tatum.
Yes, if you look at her and her best friend Tatum, the two are complete opposites. Tatum, she dresses more in like crop tops, mini skirts, pigtails, very youthful, like fun, flirty, fresh vibes. And then Sydney, she's more in like the baggy jeans, t-shirt, oversized jacket, turtleneck, that whole thing. And then she's considered the final girl, you know. So she has this whole thing where she doesn't have sex with Billy because she's a virgin, and it's this whole back and forth thing. So it fits that whole narrative of what a final girl is, because she meets those criteria in like the 90s.
Okay, so then what do you guys think about the final girl trope now versus when you compare it to slashers?
Scott?
That's tough. I need like an example of someone modern, because in my head, I always resort back to like the classic final girls. I can't think of anyone within recent times who would be like that modern type y'all are talking about.
Have you seen Your Next?
I have not.
Okay. Wait, that's Carly, what other modern people? Hold on.
There's a
Happy
film.
Death Day.
Yes. And there's also an underrated horror film named, I believe it's called Train. Yes, it's Train, right? It's very underrated. Nobody knows about it, like, at all. And the final girl is incredible. She is so tenacious. She is so physically, like, equipped to jump from, like, I don't know what she was doing, but, like, it was like she was jumping from, like, train cart to train cart to, you know,
survive. Save her friends.
Yes, it was something super intense. Like, I watched this in, like, 2019, but she is, like, an example. Like, her backstory had nothing to do with whether she was a virgin or if she dressed conservatively. Like, that was not even part of her story. It was just whether she could just save her friends and herself and just be, you know, the last person standing, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, an example of a modern horror film.
Well, I can say that, I guess, I never, until y'all pointed it out now, I've never, I guess, paid attention too much to the trope in the sense that they always set up the character line, be it being conservative or virgin or whatever. I've never actually paid attention to that as much as I've paid attention to more. It's kind of cool. I always thought it was cool that they were out there kicking ass. Like, you have a Sydney Prescott who's, you would not think of being someone who's going to run that and do all those things. And she does that for four straight movies. I noticed that more than I guess I did the backstory of it.
Mm-hmm. The thing
slasher
is,
films.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, please go.
Slasher films are this really interesting thing where they are, in certain ways, very, very feminist, but in other ways, very, very sexist.
Exactly.
Where you have these lead female characters that kick ass and are awesome, much more so than action films or science fiction or a lot of other genres. But there are those kind of rules where it's a certain kind of girl, and if you're not that kind of girl, you get a knife in the face or something akin to that, which is always, it's an interesting dichotomy of how these things kind of evolved. And, you know, it wasn't really intended on the filmmaker's part. Mm-hmm. It's just Halloween did it. And so everybody did it. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting thing to kind of see. And, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that it's interesting to hear the perspective from a male viewer about the final girl, because obviously the appeal of final girl is very subjective, right, between a male viewer and a female viewer, because us, I guess, we're intrinsically going to be feeling more empowered if we see a female kicking ass, especially with how the final girl usually kicks a male's ass, right? He's the villain and she takes him down. So hearing that you guys focus more on the character and her backstory and just the plot rather than what she looks like and sounds like is very interesting. It gives me hope. Because it's not all about whether the final girl is sexy or she's appealing in one way or not, because the trope was made right for a male audience and that sort of demographic appeal, because the film industry is predominantly male, or I guess it was predominantly male at the time.
Yeah, because when those films were released back in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, it was mostly in a predominantly male industry. So they would always portray females as, it was almost as if, like, if you were doing the nasty or if you were doing bad things, you were bound to get killed by the perpetrator or the villain or, you know, where have you. And if you were doing good, it's like your reward in the film would be that you survive. So that's why if you think back to the original Scream 1996, Randy, the very cozy one that we all want to be friends with because he knows horror movies and he's like explaining everything about the Halloween franchise. Anyways, I'm sorry, Randy, I'm sorry. if you look back at Randy, he says, what does he say? He was like, something along the lines of, I never thought I'd be so happy to be a virgin. He says that something along those lines. And he's clearly saying that because he knows the cliche of horror films and that if you're a virgin, you won't die, because he knows that people are being murdered, like whatever, in the Scream film. So he, it's just that whole cliche and that whole stereotype. If you're a virgin, you don't die. If you have sex and you, you know, it's just this whole thing, then you die. That's what happened?
No, especially for the females.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Especially for the females. That's usually like the main like target and all those stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, dudes died no matter what.
I mean, you're right.
Which actually, that kind of leads into my next sort of general question, which is, why is it women? Like, why is it final girls? Because, I mean, there are examples and of no. male Scream Queens.
Oh, of course.
Scream Kings.
Scream Kings. You know what I think? You know why I think it's final girl? Because throughout history in the film industry, males always got the representation, but females did not. There were more male actors. There were more male protagonists in whatever genre of film you want to discuss, but when it comes to the females, they were either the supporting character role or the mistress or whoever. But final girls let the female be the main plot point of the story, and a strong plot point of the story. She leads the story, and then you have the side characters, regardless of they're male or female. Final girls allow the females to get the main spotlight for their designated film.
And I think we have someone to root for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And but that's not to discount the impact of final boys. Like there's so many final boys, both modern and historical, right? That are very, very powerful as well, because they more so acted with their emotions instead of being masculine and that whole male stereotype, which is also toxic, but that's for a whole other video, I guess. I digress. I'm so sorry.
No, that was good.
I think that making a final girl, what that sets up is it for a slasher, especially it just gives everyone something they want. So if you go to a slasher movie wanting to see blood and boobs, you're going to get it. If you're a woman and you want to be empowered, you're going to see a woman who does it, and you're going to be happy. If you're a guy who just wants to see someone kick ass, you're going to be happy. So I feel like from a slasher perspective, putting a final girl is just the perfect way to cap it off, to make sure everyone leaves that movie with something that they wanted, be it blood, gore, empowerment, ass kicking, whatever it is. You're going to get it with that scenario, I think.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's a great point.
Scott, would you like to go first with your number five?
Yeah, I'll send it. My number five is Nancy from A Nightmare on Elm Street. And she's my number five because of how she died in the third one was so disappointing. It's like you kicked Freddy's ass for that long and you fell for him pretending to be your dad and got stabbed. That's ridiculous. You're better than that, Nancy. But she's on my list because she had to make decisions being sleep deprived, which is super hard to do. So not only are you fighting someone trying to murder you in your dreams, you also aren't sleeping. So you're not thinking very clearly. And you've also watched all of your friends get massacred. So that's a little tough to work through. Mm-hmm. So I think for all that at stake, she had some pretty good wins and made some good decisions against Freddy that helped her survive until she died like a dumbass in the third one, to be honest. But that's my number five.
Nice. Yeah, no, I also hate that scene.
It's the worst. How do you defeat him for that long and you fall for that move? I don't understand.
So my number five is Jenny from Friday the 13th Part 2, played by Amy Steele. And the reason she's one of my favorites is a lot of the stuff we were talking about earlier about sort of the stereotypes about sexuality and sort of conservative versus not. And Jenny is a character that even that early on in the genre really broke all of that stuff. Like, she was having sex, she was going to the bar and partying with everybody. So she doesn't really fit the mold of what those characters were. But I also like that she was very intelligent and had this very psychological, sympathetic approach to Jason, where she could really understand where he was coming from and could use that to her advantage in defeating him. And I just think she's a really just fun, badass character.
I agree.
Oh yeah, she's amazing. Also, that movie is really good.
Yeah.
Also, one of the better Friday the 13th movies.
Okay, let's go to Gabby. What's your number five?
I didn't study. Okay, fine. Okay, well, let's go with Sally from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Okay, actually, no, she has to be higher.
Okay.
She screams a lot, so it's a little louder.
No, yeah, she has vocal folds and lungs of, but I mean, if I'm being honest, I didn't rank my finer girls. I could just give you like a list.
Sure. Just give us one.
Okay, so Sally, I love her. She went through such trauma, physical, mental, emotional trauma with Leatherface and the entire scenario with her friends being murdered one by one. And the whole scene at the dinner table with the Sawyers.
Yes.
I love her. I love that movie. And she honestly is one of the most tenacious final girls, because she made it out alive. Like, you really didn't think that anybody would survive the psychopathic scenario with the Sawyers, but she did, and I really respect her for doing literally everything she could despite her nearly dying so many times during the movie. So yeah, I love her. Okay, Carly.
All right, Carly.
Okay, so my number five, I really didn't study, but if we're ranking, I'm going to go with the same one that Scott did, Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street, just because, but mine isn't as detailed as his and intricate and interesting as his. Mine's very bland. However, it's just solely because Freddy Krueger isn't in like one of my like faves, so... Did I offend you, Scott? Not Scott.
No,
did I offend
no.
you, Sean? Oh, okay. I don't know. I saw Sean make a face. Okay. Freddy Krueger, since he's not like one of my faves, I just feel like Nancy, like her character was great. I mean, she was very strong and innovative. That's one of the things I admire about her. She had like a whole scene where she was putting stuff in like a light bulb and like making a whole like trap and stuff. So that's why she's still in my top five. However, I don't think about her a lot. I think about my number one, which I will reveal in like 2 seconds when we get to that. But she's great. I admire her. I admire the character, the actual like actor. What's her name?
Heather Langenkamp.
Same situation. exactly. So, you know, it's just, I like her. But I'm not like super crazy about her. Like, I don't really think about her that often, but she's still like in the top five because of the way she portrayed herself as like an iconic final girl. Like, she's just very historical. Like, everyone knows about her. So you got to love her in a way.
Yeah. Back around to Scott.
I apologize, Sean. My number four is Sydney from Scream. I know that's probably too low for your liking, but I think it's pretty amazing how much PTSD she probably dealt with through 4 Scream movies of everyone you love tries to kill you pretty much. So she's probably got some wicked trust issues. And the fact that she was able to stay strong through 4 movies is pretty insane. And also the worst moment of your entire life got turned into a film franchise in Stab that went on like 8 more movies.
Oh my God.
So that would be horrific to go through. So that's why she's my number 4, just because she's resilient.
And you get played by Tori Spelling, just to add insult to injury.
Yeah, that would suck.
My number 4 is a more modern character, which is Tree from the Happy Death Day films. Mm-hmm. I think that's her name.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so again, kind of like Jenny, there's kind of an element of breaking the rules where she starts that first movie as the girl that would die in every single one of these. And the whole kind of story of the movie is we're going from that to being the final girl, which I think is really fun and really interesting. And I just think Jessica Roth is a really great actress who kind of has to carry a lot on her shoulders, because that movie is such a difficult tonal balance of its comedy and its drama and its horror elements. And it really does kind of rely on her. And I think she does a great job.
Very descriptive. Okay. Number four, I mean, I have to put Sydney on my list because she's very, very tenacious. And like Scotty said, the amount of PTSD and trauma that she went through with everybody in her life betraying her and trying to murder her at some point, and yet she still somehow survived every single movie with Ghostface. That's commendable. I don't know how she slept at night, but no, truly. But yeah, I really admire Sydney and just the way that she also went against more so the final girl tropes and standards with femininity and the way that she dressed and how she presented herself as the lead character. Also, she was aware of horror tropes. I mean, who doesn't love that?
Yay. Next, is it me? All right, it's my turn. All right, everyone. So I know Gabby's definitely going to be super excited for this one. I don't know if you guys know about the film Tragedy Girls. No. Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, we're Tragedy Girls, just in case you didn't know that.
Exactly. Sure, so we're going to put you on for like 2 seconds. Let me give you a sec. Okay, so the Tragedy Girls, they are two final girls. They are completely badass. They remind me of Gabby and I. They are both amazing. Okay. So one, her name is Michaela and the other one is Sadie. They fit our aesthetic, girly, grunge vibes. I'm the girly, she's the grunge, if you didn't know. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So anyways, they're definitely in my top five of the final girls because they are completely, just their whole, the story revolves around them entirely. And it's interesting because it's not like they're trying to really, and like Gabby, you could probably help me out here with this, but like, it's not like they're really trying to like beat any form of like villain or anything like that. They're actually interested in like true crime and they're like horror film enthusiasts too, just like all of us. And they kind of go through this whole series of like a whodunit situation. And then they end up being the final girls, but they have these really cool masks that we have too. And I'm sorry, I have no idea where I'm going with this. But they're awesome. And I recommend that you guys watch Tragedy Girls because they just remind me of Gabby and I, and they're literally cool. So
it's a very refreshing take on not having one final girl and having two. It's very modern. You have two final girls and they're best friends, and their dynamic throughout the entire movie of trying to murder people, right? It's just so refreshing because it's there's a lot of comedy in it as well. It's very gory, and you don't expect females to be have gory tendencies and be fascinated by true crime and horror and all of these sadistic,
like they seem like your typical sweet innocent girls, and you know, they're just like in high school, yeah, like they're just in high school, they want to go to prom, like this and that, they're just interested in your like normal, you know, true crime docs and like all that stuff like that, but they're actually crazy and it's really interesting. So they're great. I love them.
Well, I'll have to check that out. Back to Scott.
So my number three is going to be pretty short because it's already been covered, but Sally from Texas Chainsaw, same reason, horrifically traumatizing to be at that dinner scene and have a almost dead old man try to hit you in the head with a hammer. I feel like you wouldn't get past that. You're in the middle of nowhere and you also are stuck with one of the all time worst characters in a horror movie ever in Franklin. I hate him. And I was so glad when he died. And that must have been atrocious just being in a car ride with that man. So that alone puts her on my list pretty high.
Yeah. So my number three, I feel a little bad about my top three because they're kind of basic.
No, you're fine.
That.
You're okay. Just let's go for it.
But it's Laurie. It's Laurie Strode.
Ooh. Yes. Okay. Continue. My girl.
And obviously that character does have an advantage of being in so many movies at this point and having such an evolution of different timelines. And I generally really like where they take that character each time, but even just as presented in the original John Carpenter film, she's just, I don't know, there's something really charming and kind of relatable about the character. And a lot of it does kind of rely on just Jamie Lee Curtis being good at what she does. And there's a fun kind of element of repression in that character and how she sort of overcomes that as she has to defeat Michael.
Yay. Carly's so excited.
I'm so happy.
For top three, I think I'm going to go with Angela from P2. I don't know if you guys know the movie. I know Carly does. Yeah. P2, it's a Christmas horror movie. It's very psychological. It's terrifying. Angela, essentially, just a quick premise. Angela gets kidnapped by the security guard in her work building on Christmas, and she has literally no way of escaping. He locks the entire building, the garage. He handcuffs her, and I'm not going to spoil it, but basically, she goes through a lot of trauma, physical trauma, emotional trauma, mental trauma, and yet, obviously, final girl, she makes it out alive, and she uses mind games and manipulation to get her to survive the situation and get away from this demented, psychopathic security guard, and the fact that she understands how he is handling the situation of kidnapping her is so genius, because she's literally putting herself in his shoes to escape. So it's just chef's kiss. But yeah, I love her so much.
Yay. Okay, it's my turn.
Yep.
Okay, so we're at top three already, and definitely in my top three, coming in number three is Sydney Prescott from Scream. And I have to put her in my top three just because I love Scream and how it just is so self-aware. Just the entire film is self-aware. That's the whole point of it. It's basically poking fun at any horror film that came before it, and I love it for that. So Sydney being an obvious final girl, like doing all the obvious things that you need to be, wearing all the obvious clothing that you need to wear in order to be a final girl, just makes her such an iconic final girl. And when Scream came out, it basically was such like a huge comeback for horror, and everyone was like, oh my god, like this is a new thing for horror, like we're really coming back. So you know, it was a big deal, and that's why I love Sydney Prescott as a final girl. I just think that despite it being so self-aware, and like, you know, she kind of knows like what she's doing. Like there was a scene in Scream, she says something about like horror films and how it's like always like a big breasted girl like running, like when she should be running out the door, she's running the other way or something like that. She's like, it's embarrassing. Like she says something along those lines. And it's like, she knows, she's fully aware of what, you know, the dumb girls who get killed are like, and what she's not, you know? So that's why I admire her as a final girl, and just the film entirely. I mean, it's a good film.
It's an amazing film.
I just love Scream, so we're good. That's why I have Ghostface back there. He's my love. Michael's my love, but I mean, he's my love too. It's fine. I'm done.
Scott?
Number two, I don't think this really falls into like the trope of a final girl, but it's just a girl who kicked a lot of ass. So that's kind of how I picked it. But it's Maddie from Hush. I don't know if y'all ever saw that movie.
That counts.
So yeah, my top two, they're not going to be traditional by any means. I just thought of two girls who were amazing. And the fact that she's deaf is already insane. Like, she might as well be my number one, actually. Like, she's deaf. You're completely alone. And you don't have some villain that's supernatural that's not going to die, or someone that chases you in your dreams, or someone that's horrible at trying to kill you because they're a teenager. You have a legit psychopath who just wants to kill you for the sake of killing you. And he wants to make a game out of it. So he's going to have fun while he does it at your expense, and you can't hear. So she had to use her disability as an advantage, to where by the end, she was able to manipulate his senses with her lack of senses. And I think that makes you an insane final girl to be able to do that with that sort of impairment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was a cool movie.
Sure.
My number two, who we've talked about, I think it was on everybody's list, maybe not Gabby's, but it's Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. For a lot of the reasons that have kind of been said throughout, and I talked about this in my YouTube review of that first movie, plug, where I think Nancy and Freddy are kind of the most interesting pair in terms of being a hero and a villain. There is this real dichotomy where Nancy is everything that is good and just, in the world, and Freddy is the polar opposite of that. And I never felt that series was ever able to be as interesting or as captivating when they moved to just Freddy cycling through victims instead of having that sort of nemesis relationship, which I thought is so kind of captivating and interesting in how they sort of feed each other and work together.
That's an amazing description and analysis. Wow, I'm excited.
Yeah, that was actually a lot better than mine. I feel like I failed. I got a C and he got an A.
Do I go now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, wonderful. My number two is Laurie Strode, obviously. Oh, she is the most famous scream queen. She is the epitome of perseverance. She is the epitome of overcoming so much trauma. Like spanning the entire Halloween franchise when she is present, obviously. She's well known for a reason. I love her. She makes me feel very empowered. And it's not a complete final girl list without Laurie Strode, because she revolutionized what a final girl stands for and how she acts and how she really perseveres through her emotional trauma to eventually, you know, get through her situation. So I love her, I respect her, and my list cannot be complete without her.
A quick question before we move on. What are our opinions? Because obviously when we're talking about Laurie on this list, we're talking about Jamie Lee.
Oh my God,
do we have a positive opinion on Scout Taylor Compton from the zombie films?
Who?
That answers that. remake Lori.
Remake Lori.
Oh, from Rob Zombie?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, I don't like what she was doing. She was doing a lot. I mean, she would never be a Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, nobody could be.
However, comma, I liked the Rob Zombie films, unpopular opinion, because I love Rob Zombie and I love what he was trying to do. I feel like he deserves more respect.
He does deserve more respect.
Of taking his own twist. We see taking his own twist on the Halloween films. Everyone's taking it so seriously. And you're like, oh, it wasn't like the John Carpenter one.
It's not supposed to be, because he is taking...
They are two completely different people, John Carpenter and Rob Zombie.
And you know what? He gave Mikey a very interesting and creative backstory, which I appreciate. I love when a serial killer or a villain or whoever is a perpetrator gets a backstory, because I understand the character more. I get to connect with them and I get to see why they are acting X, Y, and Z way and why their psyche is functioning the way it is. So I appreciated his attempt with the backstory, and I really do think that his version of the Halloween movies were interesting and they were captivating, you know?
Yes, I agree. However, the girl who played Laurie Strode was not it. She needed to sit down for 2 seconds because she was making me angry. It's fine though, we're fine.
Okay, you're up, Carly.
Okay, number two. So we're going to be doing a little family situation. So number two, despite her not making it to the end of the film, I am picking Marion Crane from Psycho in 1960. I know she is not technically a final girl in the sense of, you know, the 80s and 90s terms, or even like modern terms and stuff like that. However, she basically created the idea of what a scream queen is. And I'm talking about family because, hint, hint, foreshadowing, my number one's going to be Laurie Strode. All right, it's fine. So Janet Leigh, she is a complete icon in horror films. Like, I just feel like anytime I think about Janet Leigh, I get super excited. Like, she makes me so happy. And her role in Psycho was super, like, she wasn't just like a one-dimensional character. She's very three-dimensional. She really like led the path for horror films in general, and like just female roles in horror as well. And like I said, I know she didn't end up at the end of the film. She kind of died a little too quick. It was a little aggravating, but you know, everyone remembers her. She's very memorable. That's the thing. She's not a forgettable character. And I think that's what's also important too when you think about a final girl. We know them as making it to the end of the film, like, you know, an hour and 26 minute, whatever. But it's also if they're memorable too, and what they did and what they delivered and for the entire plot. So Marion Crane is in my top two. Thank you.
Scott, before we do your number one, real quick, did we bully characters off your list?
No, y'all didn't actually take any off my list, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it hurt my feelings a little bit when you came at Freddy versus Jason like that. And what was the other one? Black Christmas?
Black Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll remember that. You're definitely not getting a subscriber after this, for sure. But,
you know. Full intense.
Okay, what's your number one?
All right, so I'm going to have to explain this one a lot because I feel like it's just not going to happen if I just said it right off the top. So, again, it does not go anywhere near like a normal trope of any final girl at all. It's literally just a kick-ass female. And I like horror movies that make you feel something because it's real. Like, the more grotesque and weird it makes you feel and the emotions it makes you feel is what makes it terrifying to me. So if it's something that could happen, it messes me up. So my number one, and I feel like none of y'all are going to like it at all, but my number one is I Spit on Your Grave, the lead character of that movie.
Oh, okay. That's actually a really good
one. We're here for it.
So
we did a whole analysis on the movie.
Yeah, we have a PowerPoint if you really want to see it. It's so good. Okay, keep going.
Well, I'm glad. I was that movie is very hit or miss for obvious reasons because yes. it's obviously going to invoke some sort of feeling when you watch it because yeah. And there's I can get why people can't watch it. But the what she went through and the fact that that's so real and could happen and does happen to people on a mm-hmm. daily basis and having people that I'm very close with of having to go through therapy and things such as that for years because of situations like that, to see someone take that revenge out and is with no remorse, just straight headed, outnumbered. I have nothing left to live for. You've already taken my life from me. So now I'm taking it from you every step of the way. I love that. And I know it's not the typical final girl, but to me, when I think of a final girl, it is an like a just kick-ass female. And if I could think of one, it's her to just go through an entire shithole town of people that mm-hmm. wronged her and to take them out one by one with no afterthought, I thought was amazing. I love that movie for that reason.
I respect you choosing her. And I respect the way that you spoke about why you chose her, because honestly, she deserves to be a character that is recognized more in the horror genre, but also as a final girl, because she honestly, she is the definition of perseverance and just like you said, what she had to overcome to exact her revenge to the T is commendable. And it's honestly very inspiring because like you said, a lot of people that go through that situation are traumatized and there's just no way for them to come back. But the fact that she did it is it's honestly just very powerful. So, yeah.
Yeah, and a quick plug for Quo's YouTube channel. The last video I did with them was on rape revenge films, and we talked quite a bit about I Spit on Your Grave and films similar to it. My number one is not a surprise to people that kind of know me, but it is Sydney from Scream. I feel like I've rambled about it quite a bit on this podcast and on my YouTube channel. I know I've talked with Scott about this, where Scream and that character specifically is kind of like my Star Wars, the way that people view those movies and view Luke Skywalker because of growing up with it the way that they did. That's sort of what Scream is to me. So I just think it's an amazing character. And just a lot of the other choices on the list, I guess, are more intellectual, or I came up with more intellectual reasons, whereas this one is pure just kind of emotion.
Yay. This is good.
It is. I don't think there's anything wrong with choosing a character based off of emotion, because you know, sometimes you just feel connected to a character and you don't have to have a reason as to why. My number one is not a surprise if you know me. It's Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. Yes, I finally said her name, so I'm part of the Nancy Club. I love her with my entire soul. I love Freddy Krueger with my entire heart. He's my hubby. But the reason why I chose Nancy is because she to me is a character. She to me is a character that just empowers me. She inspires me. She not only pushes her own limits to obviously serve, well, you know, up to that point, to survive the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, but she tests Freddy Krueger's limits as well, right? And she has to endure such physical sleep deprivation, and the way that she just overcomes seeing everybody around her die and get murdered and slashed to death, but yet she still keeps herself going. She keeps herself as sane as possible to defeat Freddy and play his own mind games on him. You can't beat that for me. I love her and I respect her so much. She's my girl. So yeah.
Yay!
Since we all have her on our list, and I asked her about Laurie, quick opinions on remake Nancy?
Nope.
Yeah. No. You know what? I really did enjoy the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, but you cannot beat Heather Langenkamp's performance of Nancy and the way that she the way that she played Nancy and just made her a character that you can really connect with, because I connect with her on a very emotional level. You can't beat that for me. Although, just quickly, I did not like the way that they made Freddy a child molester in the remake. Mm. I'm not with that. Thank you very much.
So Carly, what's your favorite? Well, I guess you told us already, but you can talk about it more.
Okay, so let me just, hello everyone, it's me. So my number one is Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. My number one scream queen, everyone who knows me knows I adore Jamie Lee Curtis as a person and just as an actress. And then Laurie Strode, I adore that character from all the films that she's in the Halloween franchise, and then also especially the recent one. I mean, the Halloween 2018 one was good. It's not my favorite, but it was good. And I just really loved her character in it, just because she discusses her trauma from 40 years ago and just a whole, you know, so-and-so, whatever. And for me, it's also an emotional connection that I feel with her. I just love her so much, to the point where I named my first car Laurie.
I can attest to this.
My first car was named Laurie because of the reason why I just love her character so much. I have a horror shrine, but I have a like Michael Myers shrine too, because I just love Halloween. Like, I have a separate Halloween shrine like right in front of me. Like, I'm looking at it right now. Right in front of me, like a Halloween shrine, because I just love the Halloween film so much. And Laurie Strode is just one of my favorite characters, just because she is so, she's very independent. That's what I love about her. She's very independent. She doesn't care about what people think about her. Even though in like the first film she's very like, oh, like what's that guy that she likes, Ben Tramer, she's like, oh my god, yeah, Ben Tramer doesn't like me, blah, blah, blah. But she's also still very independent, even though all her friends are out, you know, like doing their own thing and stuff like that. She's very independent. I also see myself in her, just because I'm super independent as well. I love her strength and how she overcomes things. She goes through so much, but she doesn't let that define her. She kind of builds from that. And I think that's such an important thing to have as a person in general, whether you're a girl or a male. Like, it doesn't, like a female or a male, what am I saying? A female or a male. When you like go through trauma, you build from that. And you see that more in the Halloween 2018 film, which is why I love it. Like, a lot of people got so mad about it, but like
dramatic.
Yeah, they got so angry. But like, even though it wasn't like, it wasn't amazing, but it was good. I enjoyed it. But it's more of like the theme and the message, like the motif that they were trying to portray, in terms of like going through trauma, 40 years later you overcome it and you become this like badass like old lady. Like, I want to be that. So she's my queen, and that's why also her mother is my queen too, Janet Leigh, everyone. Mm-hmm. Let's pause for 2 seconds. Janet Leigh is another queen. Like, just that whole family is everything to me. So I'm part of the family, so we're fine.
You literally are. I feel like you do belong. I feel like every final girl that all of us listed, it doesn't matter if they're on our list holistically or not, just every single final girl is very resilient. And I think that's what makes final girl so captivating, because you literally feel the power that they're putting out on the screen, and you want to be that. You want to be the badass bitch that overcomes X, Y, and Z and survives whatever trauma or experience or perpetrator that she's facing. Resilience is the quality that we all need to possess, right?
Yes. And also, I feel like despite like ranking them, like, I know we rank them from, like, top five, like, meaning five, like, lowest, and, like, number one, like, our favorite, whatever. But despite ranking them, they all, like, I love them all. Like, mm-hmm. I really love them all. And especially as a female, watching them just, like, kick ass and just do what they need to do, especially what Scott said about the I spit on your grave. I didn't put that on my list, but that doesn't mean I don't love her, because
exactly.
Gabby and I did a whole PowerPoint on revenge horror films, and like Sean said, we did a whole film, not film, oh my god, a whole video on revenge horror films in general. Like, that whole topic, like, coming from a female's perspective, it's so sensitive to us, but we admire the final girl that you chose, Scott, because of what she went through, and what she did to, like, literally get rid of them. Like, any, trust me, any female would want to do that, but, like, in this, like, day and age, like, it would be, like, to go through a court of law, like, doing all of that would be so, like, to even, like,
traumatizing.
Like, claim as, like, self-defense, it wouldn't even be, like, a thing. So, it was, it's just, like, every final girl, just seeing them be, you know, defeat the perpetrator or the antagonist is just very inspiring. So
it is inspiring, because and the thing is, I mean, this is obviously from two specific females, right? We don't speak for all females, but a lot of females, I'm not going to generalize and say every female, but a lot of females, they go through some sort of rendition of what the girl in I Spit on Your Grave went through in numerous categories of sexual harassment, sexual assault. So seeing her do what she needed to do to not only appease her soul and what she went through, but to fucking make those assholes pay. I'm so sorry for being so aggressive. But like, it's just, it's necessary. It's a necessary evil that she had to do for her own sanity and peace of mind. Because obviously in this day and age, you can only do so much to really help yourself overcome such trauma. And obviously this happens to males too, but once again, I'm a female, so I'm speaking from a female's perspective. It's just, it's a very important, she's a very important character for more people to really understand and to watch the movie, because it just hits home differently, I guess, for a female audience, right, Carly? So yeah. Just we respect that you brought it up. Even though she's not on our list, we still love her, and the movie holds a lot of significance to us, for sure. Yeah.
Right on.
Yay!
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of talk about these characters and celebrate these characters. Bless because
you. Thank you.
I like you're being polite to me, but in turn was interrupting me.
Sorry. Start again.
You're fine. You're fine. I forgot. I think it's important to talk about these characters and celebrate them. Because these aren't films that are, for the most part, well-respected. These are films that people kind of wrote off as trash. I think I Spit on Your Grave is especially one of those films that people kind of just wrote off as just exploitation nonsense. And Friday the 13th was often the victim of that. And there are some slasher films where that may or may not be true, depending on your own taste. But I do think these are really significant characters in fiction from a variety of perspective, whether it's feminist or whatever it is. And so I just think it's good to sort of see what these characters mean and the impact they can have, because I do think these films can be more than just cheap thrills, and there's nothing wrong with being that either.
Yeah, but the thing is, like you said, there's so much more than meets the eye with horror films. You can analyze them in so many different ways with a million different perspectives, and the way that these characters or the horror films in general, which whatever subgenre you're looking at, they have such an impact on the audience member, right? And then their psyche, their fears, whatever, whether it's rational or irrational. So just talking about these final girl characters is important. And especially in horror movies, because as we know, horror movies have a bad rep. So therefore these characters do not have the time to shine and be spoken about in a positive light. So it's great that you guys are bringing awareness.
You know, when people talk about these strong female characters, you know, they'll bring up Ripley, they'll bring up Sarah Connor and some of the more recent kind of superhero stuff. And these are characters, the horror characters are always kind of ones that get left out of the discussion when people are talking about the need for female protagonists, which I agree with. It's just interesting that there are these examples that always kind of get left out.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's a really good point.
Okay. Well, I think
I'm so sorry. I have a headache.
You're fine. You're fine. I think that's probably a good place to wrap up. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
I like the list. Right.
Mass silence. Okay.
I love it. Give me a chance.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, we both appreciate you guys having us on the podcast and letting us share our perspective, you know, as females. Yeah. And we appreciate hearing your perspective as males. We had a really good conversation.
Well, as always, we'd like to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Gabby and Carly, for coming on and joining us. You can find them on Instagram, Quoth, Q-O-A-T-H, Queens of All Things Horror. On Instagram and on YouTube. You find me on Instagram, just my name, Sean Blumenshine. I don't have a fun creative title because I'm boring. And YouTube is the same. And then Scott, you can find on the Partial Artist podcast Instagram. And thank you for listening. Like and subscribe. I don't know how podcasts work.